Chapter 36, Disturbing Information. As before, Rav Eliyahu welcomed his important visitors warmly and treated them with great respect. They informed him of the decisions reached by the Rabbanim at the emergency meeting that was held in Speyer. To their surprise, the Baal Shem Tov did not show any sign of anger, shame, or worry. "I will respond to everything you have told me," he said pleasantly and calmly. "You are trying to ban me from learning and teaching Kabbalah. However, such a ban has no basis at all. The secrets of the Torah are part of the actual Torah itself. They are part of the complete Torah, Torah's Hashem Temima, that was given to the Jewish people at Har Sinai. Destroying these teachings would mean that Hashem's Torah is no longer complete. Now, even if I were to accept that the Gaon Rav Pinchas Zelig and his colleagues are greater Torah authorities than myself, there are two things to consider. Firstly, they made the mistake of judging me without asking me to present before them and hearing my opinion, as a true Torah judgment requires. And secondly, I am anyway forced to ignore their ruling in this matter. After all, there is a rule in the Torah that when a person is given a choice of listening to a Rav or listening to that Rav's student who says something different than from his Rav, we must obey the Rav and not his Talmud. In our case, the Rav is no other than Hashem, who gave us his Torah in two parts, its laws and its deeper teachings. He commanded us to study and know it all. The Talmud, in our case, is the Torah sages who you sent here. They are certainly among the world's finest sages. However, they are only students of Hashem. So, please explain how they can tell me not to study part of Hashem's Torah. They have ruled against Hashem himself. Tell me, please, who do you think I must listen to? Don't you agree that I must listen to the Rav, the one who gave us the Torah?" The Rabbanim listened in awe as Rav Eliyahu spoke. His words came from a deep sense of truth. After giving them a moment to think over his words, the Baal Shem responded to their second demand, that he stop curing Jews who have fallen ill by making use of the names of the Holy Malachim. "As far as your second complaint, I assure you that it has no basis whatsoever. I have never in my life cured someone in the way you have described. You certainly know that the Torah forbids us from suspecting our fellow Jews of doing something wrong without proof. When a Jew comes before me, suffering from pains or illness, I offer a heartfelt tefillah, begging Hashem to cure him. I then speak with the person and encourage him to return to Hashem with true teshuva and to live his life as Hashem wants. I do not use the holy names and have nothing to do with the angels. I must tell you one more thing in order to stop the false rumors. When I give someone food or drink in addition to my tefillahs and words of encouragement, it is only in order to give a more natural appearance to their cure, so that it should not look entirely supernatural." The Rabbanim did not know what to say. Everything that the Baal Shem Tov said made perfect sense, and they had no choice but to agree with him. Rav Eliyahu then offered to travel to Speyer with them and repeat all that he had told them to Rav Pinchas Zelig himself. Rav Eliyahu did not consider it beneath his dignity to travel to Speyer. He did not take it personally, as if he had to protect his reputation. Rather, he realized that his journey was critical to the Torah itself. The thought that a group of Talmidei Chachamim had publicly declared war on the Torah's mystical teachings and also against anyone who thought differently from them pained him deeply. Rav Eliyahu firmly believed that the way to fix and perfect the world was through properly combining the study of the Torah's two parts, its revealed laws and teachings, and the secrets of Kabbalah. Just as a body cannot live without a soul, so too the Torah's revealed teachings need the teachings of Kabbalah, which are called Nishmasa Deraisa, the Torah's soul. The Baal Shem's visit to Speyer drew everyone's attention. All had heard that Rav Eliyahu was a scholar of the highest nature and a tzaddik who performed miracles. They were interested to see what would happen when he met Rav Pinchas Zelig, who was equally famous as one of the world's greatest Talmidei Chachamim. The reality, however, was bitterly disappointing for Avelio, and a heavy blow to the many people who looked forward to the meeting between these two giants. Rav Eliyahu did in fact meet Rav Penchazelik, but the Gaon of Speyer had already made up his mind. He was so opposed to anyone who studied Kabbalah that he refused to listen to any of the Baal Shem's explanations. He had not expected the Baal Shem to personally pay him a visit, and the surprise made him more irrational and angrier than ever. Without giving him a chance to speak, Rav Penchazelik strongly insisted that the Baal Shem follow the decisions that had been reached by the Rabbanim of the emergency meeting. Rav Elio refused. The Gaon then told all who would listen to him that from then on, it was strictly forbidden to have anything to do with Rav Elio or his followers. He sent his son Rav Shammai to visit the Jewish communities of every town and city in order to convince them that the Baal Shem was a great danger to the Torah. Seeing that Rav Penchazelik was not ready to talk and explore the truth, Rav Elio took no further notice of the Rabbanim who were troubled with his ways. Despite their announcements against him, he continued doing what he knew was right and holy. He was blessed with great success. Many people became his followers, and his fame spread far and wide. This, then, is the story of the Baal Shem's birth and of the unique way in which he served Hashem and helped and taught his fellow Jews. All of this was told to Baruch by Moshe Leib, the middle son-in-law of Eliezer Reuven, the blacksmith of Deber Missel. As we already know, Moshe Leib was raised by his father to keep away from the Nestarim and those who study Kabbalah. Baruch was very thankful to Moshe Leib for sharing this precious information about the first Baal Shem, the founder of the Nestarim. How did Moshe Leib come to know so much about Rav Elio Baal Shem? Moshe Leib was born in Yeshenkovich. Many of the prominent Rabbanim there had been strongly influenced by Rav Penchazelik's sharp opinions on Kabbalah and the Baal Shem, and by the slander of his son Rav Shammai. Moshe Leib grew up in a town where Rabbanim made a point of discussing the Baal Shem in order to warn people against the Nestarim and Mekubalim. There was one thing that Moshe Leib said that truly disturbed Baruch. When mentioning the Talmid HaChachamim, most bitterly opposed to the Nestarim, Moshe Leib included a familiar name, Rav Avraham Zev, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshenkovich. When he heard this, Baruch's heart skipped a beat. If you remember, Rav Avraham Zev was the personal Rav of Rav Avraham the farmer of Liazhna, and Rav Avraham the farmer was soon to be Baruch's father-in-law. Baruch felt his whole world spinning. In just another few months, he would be getting married. He had planned to build a home which would be open to the Nestarim and to all who admire or follow the ways of Reb Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. He had just discovered, however, that his future wife's father had been taught and raised in the Beis Medrash of one of the fiercest Misnagdim. Baruch felt deeply depressed by the thought. What was he to do now? Who could help him?